This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, I'm Sammy P and I'm 18 years old.
Salam, I'm Malaki T and I'm 16 years old.
Hi, I'm Grace and I'm 17 years old.
Mabuhay, I'm Betty B and I'm 17 years old.
Kia ora, I'm Shiva and I'm 15 years old.
Welcome to our podcast, The Screen From Our Side.
We're a group of Oti Poti Rangatahi who NetSafe brought together to talk about our experiences online. Welcome to this episode, Between Screens. Today we are going to discuss what it means to grow up in a digital age, how we as young people use social media, how the global pandemic shaped our online engagements, and also our thoughts on whether we really have control over our digital footprint. Well, we can start with one of our questions, which is, do you feel like you're the same person online as you are in person?
I feel like when I'm on social media, it's kind of like a performance. I'm putting up a front for people to see, and I'm only giving people a glimpse of what I live through and like what I go through. And for me, that's an important thing I set for myself, just because it's like a safety thing, but also it's just great to have control over what people can and can't see.
Yeah, you're so right, Betty. Social media for me is just like seeing a snapshot of like the perfect life. It's hard to know the difference in between what we're seeing online as reality compared to, I guess, what our real lives in person are like. And I feel like I do definitely display the best of my life online. And I was talking to someone today and they're like, yeah, I post about my holidays. When I'm going on holiday, I'll post that on Instagram, but I'm not going to post when I failed a test. We post the best of life 100%. And the best outlook on life and not the reality of life.
Yep.
So true. And it's so hard, like, also when you're seeing everyone's, like, best version of life and you're like, oh, am I not good enough? Or, like, why is my life not looking like that? And you don't see, like, when you fail the test. You don't see when you get stopped at, like, the airport for a few hours, you know? It's you only see the best part of it, which is, like, you know, the pyramids or being on the plane, you know? So it's really hard also with comparing, like, the highs and lows to other people, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Comparison is one of the more negative effects when it comes to being on social media a lot, especially because I think our generation is unique in the sense that we grew up from having little content, like little access to content. And then in our age right now, we have access to so much that we definitely have to, like, at times take a breather and like remind ourselves that what we see online isn't the full picture, and that we recognize that for what it is.
I guess that kind of segues into, like, do you feel like being online is a choice, or is it sort of just a part of our everyday lives? Like, do we have an option, or is it just the reality that we live in? We're kind of trapped within social media and the digitization of our age.
I think it's definitely become part of our lives, because if I needed to ask any question or anything to one of my friends, it's going to be online, or even just my parents, my family, especially as someone who most of my family lives overseas. If I want to connect with them, it has to be through online. And in a sense, we are lucky to have those tools at our fingertips. But as we have spoken, it's also, it can be really harmful, especially as teenagers and youth.
Yeah. I agree. I think we live in an age where if you're not online, you're kind of missing, well, not missing out, but there are parts to, I guess, your social life and just life in general that become a lot more difficult when you're not easily accessible. Like my friends, I can pick up Snapchat and within 10 seconds I'll have a response, basically.
Yeah.
A little harder to do if I've got to send a postcard to get a response from someone in 3 weeks' time.
So true. It's so much, yeah, you're so right. It's so much more accessible, especially, like, as Shiva said, like, the connecting with your family overseas and your loved ones and your friends, and also just like seeing what's going on like in their lives, because like it's definitely not like a postcard. Like people condense that so much, but on social media you can send like voice messages that are like 5 minutes long, updating on everything that you've done.
I guess circling back to social media and portraying ourselves a certain way, would you say there's like pressure to present yourself in a certain way? Because we talked about how it's a snapshot of the best of our realities. Is there some sort of like, I don't know, unknown or unseen pressure that we feel as youth that sort of force us to only show the best part of our lives?
Oh yeah, definitely, for sure. And I feel like we see that in the way in how trends are quick to come and go. Like let's say, for example, in 2020, we saw like a more alt style of fashion, and cut to 2026 and it is so much more different. Like it is more, I want to say, soft core, like a little more retro.
Yeah.
And I feel like that kind of highlights how there is a pressure for people to constantly chase the trends, and that gives them like social and peer pressure to keep up with the times and keep up with their image and how they present themselves on social media.
I guess this leads on as well, sort of like if we're looking at what does a normal day online look for us, like how does a normal day of interacting with others look for us? Like for me, I think I wake up and, to be honest, if I'm being real, kind of the first thing I reach for is my phone. I turn off my alarm, and then to actually get me motivated to get out of bed, I check my Snapchat.
Yeah.
See who I need to respond to. But like, I feel like my day starts on my phone and it finishes on my phone. That's like, yeah, it's just me. But I think that's kind of common for most.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I think sometimes I try to be like different and be like, you know what, I'm not going to pick up my phone the first thing. I'm going to like go and do everything and then pick up my phone. But unfortunately, it's just a habit, you know, like you snooze the alarm and then you wake up and then you're like, go on the phone. For me, when I'm asleep, all my friends and family overseas are texting me. And then like when I and then throughout the day, obviously, Fana around, and then I sleep, and then I find it's the same routine again. So you're constantly talking to people and catching up with people. That's at least what my day looks like. But yeah, and I feel like after school, because obviously we're not using our phones or like as much as we are in school. So then coming back, and it's like a surprise. Like who texted me? You know, let me see. It's like a fun wee activity before I get into schoolwork again. So yeah, I think that's about me. Yeah,
looking for the blue chats on Snap.
No, exactly.
Next question is, how do you decide what parts of yourself to share online and what to keep private?
I have like a certain rule of thumb when it comes to it. And if I am not willing to share it with my family, I'm probably not going to post it online. Just because I'm a very careful person. It might be different for everyone, but I'm a very careful person in what I put out online.
I feel the same way, but like, I don't know if it's just me, but like, I have a public sort of social media account where I post the best of my life that I want everyone to see. And like the things that I wouldn't mind my parents seeing, because they'll be proud of me for these achievements or different things that I'm doing. And then quite often I feel like a lot of us also have like not alternate identities, but alternate personalities where we set up a private where we show more, I guess, crazy aspects of our lives, like the funny little side quests that you've gone on, or the times you've just like driven randomly to the beach and like taking these random point fives. I feel like I would like to know, like, is that like common to set up multiple sort of realities of your life online and share multiple different realities of that?
100%. Yeah, I think I'm the same. Like, I've got the unscripted life of me, and then I've got, like, the one that, you know, people who I follow on Instagram and I want to stay, like, you know, catching up with constantly, but, like, we're not that close, so I wouldn't feel comfortable them seeing, like, certain stories. So it either goes on my close friends with, like, 20 people or, like, the private account.
As someone who's just fully brought up on the internet, like YouTube, since I was quite young, I do have a tendency to like overshare things on my social medias because I don't think about the fact that somebody else could see this, some random person could see it. So what happens then is that like a lot of my personal information ends up on my social medias or just online anyways. And also for me, I probably a lot of people could relate to this, my parents post about me or pictures of me quite a bit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's a different thing because they just have so many more connections than me and people who I don't actually know who they are. So I do find it quite challenging to think about what I want to keep private and how I can actually do that.
So true. And then it becomes like you kind of get sometimes anxious when your parents post you because it's like, what if my friends go and stalk my mom's Facebook and then they see baby photos of me and then it becomes a meme in the group chat and it's just kind of like, oh, awkward.
Oh, trust me, when it was my 18th birthday, all my friends went and stalked my mom's Facebook. And let's just say there were some 09 photos from way back and... Yeah, they
baby
were.
Sammy P.
Baby Sammy P. was cute, not gonna lie, but he did not need to be exposed like that online. He could have done very well going throughout life without people seeing those photos.
It's crazy to think that like how many people have those photos as well, like after your mum or something posts them.
Well, it's interesting because like obviously my friends aren't good friends with my mum. Like that's just
obviously.
A bit weird. But out of nowhere, my friends can spend, I don't know, half an hour to 2 hours, depending on how dedicated they are to the project. And they can find, see, she just pulled it up. See, find photos from me from like when I was 4. And it's like they spend half an hour and they've got all this dirt on me. So it is, it is surprising how easy it is to dig up information and find the whole history of someone's life online. It's like my mum posts so much on there because she's like, when I'm old, Facebook is my scrapbook, so and I'm going to go back and look. And I'm like, Mum, your scrapbook is a public scrapbook. It's not one that's sitting on the coffee table. It's something everyone can see.
Yeah.
It's a little bit scary, but I think I laugh at it. It's my mum's a Facebook mum. Let's just admit it.
Yeah.
I often think about how we've grown up with this, so it's just a norm. But how would we even like go about even explaining this to someone that didn't grow up with like social media and like the online space? How would we explain to them what we're going through? I'd ask you this though. If you were to describe to, my grandmother, right?
So
it's not your grandmother, it's mine. If you were to describe, to her what it is like growing up with social media and being constantly online, how, like, in a few words, how would you describe that? Like, give me a few words to describe that. Maybe three.
Hard question. I feel like I'd just say, I'd explain that it's quite up and down. Like, there's a lot of good stuff. Like, you find out so many opportunities. Like, this podcast, I found out about it on Instagram. I don't know about you guys. But, and there's a lot of other good stuff. Like, you can get educated in a lot of different sources on Instagram. May not be reliable, but also you can fact check it later. But then there's also a negative to that, which is, like, you know, misinformation and AI and different type of graphic content that might not be the most positive thing that you want to see, right? Oh, that's the one word. Okay, up and down slash, up and down. Let's say that's one word.
My three words would be informative. Enlightening. And unknown. And I think the unknown is the fact that we have this experience with online and with our digital spaces that we're on, but there's so much to the internet and so much to social media that is just so far out of reach that we just do not have the ability to conceive exactly how much is out there.
So true.
What about you guys? What do you reckon, Shibim?
I mean, personally, I would say, like, connectivity, because I'm always hyper-connected to anyone, like, across the world, my family, my friends. And sometimes it does become a bit overwhelming because it's really hard to disconnect from that. And you feel like people are always going to have eyes on you, whether that's good or bad, whether you like it or not. But that's just the reality of social media nowadays, especially when you have this many followers, so many people, and then if they're sharing it with their friends or something like that, it does become quite a large scale without you even knowing it.
Do you remember the first time you went online or on social media or in a chat? What did it feel like and did you feel prepared for it?
I remember when I first downloaded TikTok, I would beg my mum to set up an account.
Like for real.
I was begging her to set up an account, and as soon as she did it, I went to the kitchen and just started making videos and videos.
Yeah.
And I felt happy, you know, happy that I was, like, joining this app that has a bunch of trends and a lot of people doing it. But I didn't quite feel prepared in a way. Yeah. I felt like I was just getting straight into it, getting into all the exciting stuff. And, yeah. What about you, Sammy?
To be honest, I don't remember the first time I went online. I assume it would be, like, something like the laptop at home. I guess that's online, but I didn't really do anything. I played, like, this random hair salon game that was downloaded on our laptop, and that was about it.
Yes.
So I didn't really do a lot, but I think, for me, I remembered the first time I got a phone. And it was a big thing, because, like, when we're younger, we're seeing some of our friends start to get phones. I'm not sure what age it was in your household, but for me, my parents were very strict. You are not getting a phone until you're 13. I got a phone at 13, and then I remember my parents said you're not allowed to get Snapchat till you're 16. Of course me. I found a way around that. So at 15, I was on Snapchat and Instagram, and I think that was my first exposure to harmful content online, and that was the first thing I recognised was the fact that I could be scrolling through my Instagram feed, or I could be on, I think it's like Snapchat Highlight or something, and you could be scrolling through, and then all of a sudden you'd be met with this, like, content that obviously should not be seen by people underage, and it was like quite eye opening because I hadn't had that experience before, and I think growing up, I didn't know quite how to have that discussion with my parents about the fact that I had now kind of done something they didn't want me to by downloading Snapchat early, but also I was experiencing seeing all this different sort of content. I didn't know how to have that conversation with my parents, so I guess I think I remember very clearly the first time I saw that sort of content on Instagram and what that sort of made me feel. And it made me feel like very guilty, and it also made me feel very uncomfortable because I didn't know how to address the issue. But I don't know. What about you guys? Did you ever remember the first time that you were exposed to sort of like content that you didn't want to see, like dangerous or uncomfortable content?
I think it was when I first got my phone, which was when I was, I think, 12. And by that point, I think I was the only one in my class that didn't have a phone. So me getting a phone was like, oh my God, I did it. It felt like an achievement for me to hop in online and see what everyone's going up doing, and like finally catching up with the trends and knowing what's up. Because sometimes my friends would have conversations and it would have references to certain online media and like online trends, and I wouldn't get it. Like I wouldn't be able to grasp what was going on, like what was the context behind it and stuff like that. So yeah, when I first got my phone, I finally had that chance to connect with them in that way. But it was also when I also got exposed to a lot of very graphic content. I think 2019, like the internet in 2019 was a lot more unfiltered than it is now. And I think this is, well, for me, it's like my dad also, he kind of encouraged me a lot to, oh, go read the news, stay informed, stay online, go on Yahoo. Yahoo is like, he wanted me to go on Yahoo.
Yahoo was a thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like a very old website, and he wanted me to like go on Yahoo, and I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. So I went on Yahoo, and that's when like I saw all the news about wars, and it was like the beginning of COVID-19 as well. I heard that news. And Like, that was when I realized that, oh, wait, the world is way bigger than I think it is, than what I have perceived it is 100%. In the news, on, like, on TV.
It's wild sometimes.
The information is now on your fingertips, and you can look up whatever you want. And as a curious child, you would look up everything that you can, not knowing that maybe I shouldn't have looked this up, and maybe, like, the results that I get isn't what I'm looking for, but now that I see it, it's like, ooh.
I often think about the fact that, like, it's those questions that you would have gone to your parents about and you would have asked your parents about, but then now, instead of asking our parents, what is our first thing?
TikTok.
Oh.
I go on TikTok and start stuff up.
Maybe for you, but I often think about, like, Google, or sometimes, I hate to admit it, ChatGPT.
Oh,
I know, I'm bad. But I often do look up my questions online, because if it's a question you're not comfortable with asking, who are you going to ask? Mm. Someone that's not going to judge you for asking that question. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was always like I would ask Google, or more recently, like last 2 or 3 years, I would ask ChatGPT. And I wonder if that's the same for me, for others. Like, if I'm not comfortable asking my parents a question or asking an adult a question, I would ask Google, because I know they're not going to respond and judge me.
I was just going to jump off of your point before, Betty, about when you're talking about COVID-19 and finding it out on, you know, Yahoo. And I was just, like, thinking about how much I used, like, my phone in COVID, like, way more than I use it right now, especially because it was, like, a global pandemic. Like, even, like, my family overseas were in lockdown. So I was just, like, on FaceTime 24/7. I think it was definitely something that was a pivotal, like, moment in growing up in this digital world, because it was always just our phones.
I have a question for you guys. Did you guys ever call yourself chronically online?
Yeah, so I was really online because we had, like, school devices. So I had a school iPad that it stayed with me for the whole lockdown. So I was able to play Roblox, do this, do that. So I think I would, when I didn't have classes, or, like, it was primary school, but if I didn't have a class, I would be spending, like, 8 hours on Roblox with my friends, just playing whatever random games came up.
Mm. Yeah, but, like, COVID did force us into that a bit. Like, you touched on it, Betty, but I want to touch on it a little bit more. Like, COVID was the first time where it was essential for youth and for the education of youth and just all-round connection and social well-being of youth to be online. And I remember talking to people, and they talk about how the fact that they think that during the formative years when we were growing up, when we were younger, if you were online during those formative years, it actually had a different sort of impact on your growth as an individual and your development as a child. And I do want to ask if you think, either within yourself or within others, that being online for 2 years straight and not seeing many people at all, whether you think that had an impact after COVID to interacting with people normally and, like, in a physical setting? Because I know for myself, I had a little bit of social anxiety when I came out of COVID, because it just didn't feel real anymore that you could be around people. And I think that I struggled a little bit with the reality of real life compared to the fact that I had only seen people online for the last 2 years. Did you guys experience any of that as well?
Yeah.
Because how old were all of you guys when COVID hit?
Ooh, 2019, 2020. So do the math, guys.
So 2020, I would have been 12.
I was 9.
I was 11. 10, 11?
10.
10, 11. 10,
yeah. Dang.
Damn. I gotta do some math real quick.
It's crazy.
So it's 2026 minus 6 years, basically.
Yep, 6 years. It started in 2020.
I was 11.
Same.
Yeah, I was like,
I was 11 when I.
Wow. So, like, you guys would have just started, I guess, discovering social media and the online space at that age, anyways. But, Shiva, you were 9, did you say?
I was 9. I think I was 10 by the time it got, like, fully started, but. Yeah,
had you already been online before that, in the same manner and to the same degree that you were when COVID hit?
So being like a few years younger than most of you guys here, they're like smartphone, whatever it was, smartphones, iPads, all that. It was at least 3 years more developed than when you guys were my age during that time. So even when I was a child, I had easy access to like iPads and things like that. So I had been aware of like TikTok, this and that when I was 9 or 10. But then during COVID, it was just so amplified because everyone was on there because they needed a space to be. So naturally, I also was on there quite a bit earlier than I would say my friends were.
Fair enough. And I feel like also after COVID, like, you know, after being there for like 2 years and just on your phone, as Sammy P was saying, my phone stopped being just like there for emergencies and just for if I need to call someone. It just started being like an active part of the hangout. Like, it's that there's like now time that's like, you know, bonding time is on the bed, just laying down and being on your phone with someone, which
playing
is,
Among Us.
Which is fair.
Holy throwback.
Which is such a like, it is a bonding experience. It is quality time. You know, if you're with someone that you like, be your best friend or whatever, and you're just spending time together, that's enough. But like before COVID, it was like you actually did stuff and you would hang out and stuff. I wouldn't care about taking photos or being on my phone. But now it's like I really want some good photos, and I also like I want to scroll on TikTok for like 2 hours when I'm with you. You know what I mean? It's just different because we're used to it now.
Yeah. All right. Next question. What's something adults often misunderstand about what it's like to grow up in a digital world?
I think that goes right back to what we were discussing before with the fact that the adults, or our adults, our parents don't understand to the degree that we've been exposed to certain materials at such a young age. And I think that was the biggest thing for me, is like, I think something adults often misunderstand about what it's like to grow up in social media age is the fact that they never dealt with exposure to so much material and so much media at such a young age. Like when my parents were growing up, what were they exposed to? Probably the newspaper. That's about it. And whatever they were talking about at home and at school. And I think that's something that they just don't understand, is the fact that we're getting exposed with so much media and so much information, whether that's good or bad. There's just so much of it that our brains are so overwhelmed. We don't know where to start and where to end half the time.
At least in my experience, something that I don't know if it's a misunderstanding or they just don't understand to the scale of is how much more globalized we are and how much more I have had the exposure to other cultures and people from other places across the world. And it's influenced a lot of how I view the world and how I view other people around me compared to, say, someone who didn't grow up in this, like, extremely globalized era of social media. So just to wrap up, I wanted to ask everyone two questions. The first one is, what do you like about growing up in a digital world? And the second one is, what do you dislike about growing up in a digital world?
I think my answer to this question would be one word, and it would be like, to both of the questions, sorry, like the influence that it has. I love how it can influence people to, you know, advocate, to donate, to speak up. But I also don't like how it can influence people to, you know, go into habits that they might have outgrew, or like start trying things that they might not be, like, it's not them, or they just see it online. So like, oh yeah, that's probably, like, I should do that because I saw my friend online do that, or this random influencer. So I think the like, influence that it has, both negative and positive, can affect someone so much.
Yeah.
One thing I do like about growing up in the digital world is the amount of online friends that I've made. A lot of the friends that I have made online was definitely back in 2020 to 2022.
COVID girl era.
Yes, it was peak. It was the peak era, and I was active on Twitch. I was active on X, and yes, I was that kind. I was that kind of girl.
Honestly, I see it, and I love that for you.
But one thing I definitely dislike, and I would say I hate about growing up in the digital world is how jaded I've become when it comes to very harmful and sensitive topics. Because I see violence and that kind of very just harsh stuff every single day, it's gotten to the point where I'm like, oh, that's normal, when it obviously shouldn't be, right?
Yeah. Yes. So true. It's like normalized.
It is, and it shouldn't be.
I said this before, but I think my like and dislike of the digital world is the connectivity of it. Because I can, everyone can use it as a tool, or you can use it as harm. Because I can easily contact my auntie or my uncle or something, be my family in India. But then on the other hand, it's that I'm always exposed to my friends or people who I don't actually know that much, but we have mutual connections online. And they'll always be seeing what I'm up to when I post. Mm. And I think that is something that I just have to accept.
I think one thing that I really like about growing up in a digital age is just the accessibility for connection, as you said, Shiva. Just the ability to be able to call up my grandma who lives, 14,000 kilometres away from New Zealand, and be able to catch up with her. Or message a friend and be able to organise to go to town one day. And I think one thing I dislike about growing up in our age is the fact that we're so exposed to harmful content and content that can really hurt our development and hurt our mental health. And I think that's probably the thing I hate the most about social media and growing up in the digital age.
Thanks for listening. Catch you next time. Ka kite anō.
Kia ora, I'm Bree, a 22-year-old youth and community worker in Dunedin.
Kia ora, I'm Sahara, I'm 28, and I'm an arts practitioner in Utiputi, Dunedin, working with Dunedin Fringe and emerging artists / rangatahi.
And we're co-facilitators for the Screen From Our Side podcast, working with these rangatahi to share their perspectives and experiences in their digital world.
This podcast was produced by NatSafe in collaboration with Otago Access Radio. If you'd like information, support, or advice about your life online, or would like to report online harm, contact NatSafe.
Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.